Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the reading of this word for this special time of year. We ask now that as we ponder the meaning that it will give to our lives, we ask that you will have your Spirit upon us, opening our hearts that might receive that message. And may your Spirit move within me and help me as I share the message you've placed on my heart. Amen. A little boy and a little girl were singing their favorite Christmas carol in church the Sunday before Christmas. The little boy concluded Silent Night with the words, "Sleep in heavenly beams." "No," his sister corrected, "not beans, peas." Think about it. Well, here we are on the Sunday before Christmas, and although we will not sing Silent Night today, we have in our hearts many Christmas songs to sing that convey the message that the wonderful love that God has for us is here on earth. Today, as we look at the precious story of how Mary's life was suddenly changed, may we be reconnected with that mystery of God's love for us. The scripture that we heard Jack read to us has us looking in on a scene involving an angel named Gabriel breaking that unexpected news to an ordinary yet very young teenage woman. Yet years older than Mary, when I wanted to become pregnant and I was feeling frustrated because it just didn't seem to want to happen as quickly as I wanted, I didn't have the problem Mary had. Mary did not have baby wants on her radar yet. She was in the throes of betrothal to a man with a carpenter business named Joseph. Betrothal was a year-long period of time between an engagement that Mary's parents arranged with Joseph and the time when they should actually get married. It was a binding agreement involving trust and commitment between the couple, and it could not be dissolved except by divorce. Joseph, likewise, was not expecting to become a father so soon, especially since the couple had not yet consummated their marriage. Joseph's suspicions that Mary had been unfaithful are understandable, and his thoughts of divorcing Mary seem justifiable. But we learn from reading Matthew 1:18 through 25 that an angel also paid a visit to Joseph in a dream to confirm Mary's story and telling him to continue his plans to marry her. Joseph followed the directions of the angel, saving Mary from a divorce and a life that likely would have involved begging and prostitution to survive. This girl named Olivia, she was 5, and her best friend Claire were in a nativity play at school. Claire was playing Mary, and Olivia was an angel. Before the show, a young boy went around the dressing room saying, "I'm a sheep. What are you?" And each child responded politely, including Olivia, who proudly declared that she was an angel. The boy then turned to Claire and repeated the question to her, "I'm a sheep. What are you?" And Claire simply said, "I'm Mary." Realizing Claire was a lead character, the boy tried to justify his own role. "It's hard being a sheep, you know," he said. "Yes," said Claire innocently, "but it's also hard being a virgin." If we approach this text with a number of historical, biographical, or biological questions, we will find that the gospel writer Luke, a physician, does not answer them. While we might think Luke's main focus is on the Virgin Mary, he actually wants to direct our attention to Jesus, the Son of the Most High, Emmanuel. He presents to us three themes for which to contemplate. The first theme that Gabriel states explicitly, nothing is impossible for God. You may remember that Mary's relative, Elizabeth, was unable to conceive a child during the normal childbearing years of her life. Yet God gifted her and her husband, Zechariah, with a child, and that child was John the Baptist. When Elizabeth was beyond her childbearing years, this gift came. While this seems highly unlikely, we read several other times in our Old Testament scriptures that this unlikely occurrence happened for others. Think about Sarah and Abraham. And how about Hannah? God made the seemingly impossible happen for these couples. And here, as we find with a virgin pregnancy, God makes the seemingly impossible happen in order to fulfill his plan to come to earth through a human being, his son. Over and over, Luke tells us both in this gospel and in the book of Acts, which he also wrote, that God can do the impossible. The sick were healed. Jesus arose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit came upon those who believed. A new community, the church, was formed. Oh, yeah. Events that we find hard to believe, God made happen, revealing to us that nothing is impossible for God. A second theme that we find in Luke's telling of this story is one that is often overlooked. Gabriel greeted Mary, saying, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." He assured her, "You have found favor with God." The Greek translation of the original text as favor could also be translated as grace. Luke doesn't tell us what makes Mary deserving of God's grace. Unlike in other instances, such as with Elizabeth and Zechariah, who are told they are righteous and blameless, they have kept all the commandments and prayed to God, he doesn't give us a hint of what makes Mary so special. Luke doesn't mention one word about Mary's virtues or even her vices to explain why God chose her. We make the assumptions that her qualities must have been nearly perfect to make her the choice to be the mother of Jesus. The point here then is that God chooses because God chooses. Mary did not earn or deserve the honor of becoming the mother of Jesus any more than any other woman. We should not be surprised by this truth. The scriptures reveal time and time again when Jesus has carried out his purposes through the most unlikely people. God chooses to have grace. The biblical message is not one of rewarding the virtuous or punishing the imperfection, but it is a message of the relentlessly undeserved nature of God's grace. The third theme that Luke communicates comes with Mary's response to the angel's announcement of God's grace upon her. She identified herself as a servant for the Lord. A better translation from the Greek for servant of the Lord would be slave of the Lord. This, her first response to the angel's announcement, tells us that Mary recognizes that she had been selected by God, and that that God's choosing leaves no room for her own preference. In other words, Mary's service comes about as a result of God's plans, not her own. She simply recognizes she has been chosen to fulfill this role in God's plan. But then with the second part of her response, saying, "Let it be with me according to your word," Mary gave her consent to God's plan. We know from the words of her song, the Magnificat, which we talked about last week and follows this text, that it is revealed to her the immense importance to the Christ child. But here, in the early moments, the revealing of her role in God's plan, she simply consents to that which she could not possibly fully understand. God has a plan for each one of us. As God reveals it to us, he may not always reveal the significance to whomever or whatever our role plays in his plan. Nor may he reveal the end results of what we are called to do. Yet we can recognize, if we so choose, that we have been chosen by God, who can do and chooses to do the impossible. God who chooses to have grace. A God who chooses to call the unlikely to fulfill a role, all of which are of high importance, is God's holy plan. He does this because he loves us, and he wants all of humanity to know his great love. During this Christmas season, may we gaze into the manger unto that holy child with open hearts for what he brings to us. Although the circumstances of our lives may be difficult, frustrating, maybe even painful, let us not forget that God, our great creator, God who is love himself, chose to come to earth through a babe in a manger. Again, using the most unlikely circumstances to make the extraordinary point that he loves us. From the deepest longing of your soul, sing of his love, and like Mary, the mother of Jesus, welcome and receive his love and his blessing as yet another one of his favored children. You are a favored child of God. Amen.